Welcome back. This is Shlomo Schwartz. We are learning Masechta Psachim, and we are up to the last Mishnah of the Masechta, Perek Yud, Mishnah Tes. Mishnah talks about the Korban Pesach, finally, and we know that we ate Dafi Koman, which is the Korban Pesach, and that you're not supposed to eat anything after that. But what happens after Chatzos, after the designated time to eat the Korban Pesach? It says the Mishnah, HaPesach Acher Chatzos, the Pesach that is remaining after Chatzos, the Tamei Sayodayim, the Rabbonon made a Gzeira that it should be Metame, the person's hands. Why did they create this Tumah? So the Bartanur explains, Kedei Shelo Yis'atzlu B'Achilasai, that people should not become lazy, and they should be careful to eat the afikomen before the designated time, so it should not become nosar, because after chatzos it's already considered nosar. How do we know after chatzos the Korban Pesach is considered nosar? So the Bar Tanur brings down the Gemara that it says by the Korban Pesach v'ochlu sabosar b'alaylo hazeh, in this night, and then it also says by Makas Bechoros v'avarti beretz Mitzrayim b'alaylo hazeh. Just like we know by Makas Bechoros to Laila Hazeh is referring to Chatzos, so too, the eating of the Korban Pesach is limited to being done till Chatzos. The Mishnah says, HaPigul V'HaNosar. Pigul, which is doing any of the avodas relating to the Korban with an improper Kavana, such as to eat it after the designated time. Both of these, they're bonan made gzeira that metamen es hayadayim. It's metamen the yadayim. Pigul for a different reason, the Bar Tanur explains, but we're just going to focus on the Pesach. Berech birchas haPesach. We know that there are two karbonis that are brought. There's the karbon chagiga and the karbon Pesach. And if a person made a bracha, really you should make the bracha on the zevach first, and then a bracha on the Pesach, because if you made a bracha on the Pesach, since that is the Iker, you would not have to make a bracha on the Zevach. So the order is, you make a bracha on the Korban Chagiga, and then you make a bracha on the Korban Pesach. However, what if Berech HaPesach, if you made the bracha on the Korban Pesach, then Pater Es Shal Zevach. It would exempt you, pater you, from having to make a bracha on the Zevach, on the Korban. However, Berech es shel Zevach, if you made the bracha on the Zevach, on the Chagiga, lo pater es shel Pesach, it would not exempt you or pater you from the Korban Pesach. Yerushalmi explains, Divrei Rabbi Shmuel, these are the words of Rabbi Shmuel. Yerushalmi explains that Rabbi Shmuel holds that the Korban Pesach is the Iker, and the Zevach is a Tafel. Therefore, the bracha on the Zevach cannot exempt you from the Korban Pesach bracha, but the bracha from the Korban Pesach can exempt you from the Korban Chagiga. Rabbi Kiva disagrees. Rabbi Kiva says, Lo zu pateres zu, v'lo zu pateres zu. Each one has its own designated bracha. The bracha for the Zevach, the Chagiga, does not exempt you or pater you from the Pesach, and the bracha from the Pesach does not pater you from the Chagiga. The reason for Rabbi Kiva, the Gemara explains, is because each of them, the Korban Pesach versus the Chagiga, have different laws pertaining to the dam, the blood, and how you're supposed to, the avodah relating to the blood. The dam of the Korban Pesach is b'shvicha, which means to pour it, whereas the dam of the zvachim, he says, is zrika miracha, to throw it from a distance. And since they have different halachas relating to how the dam is offered, therefore you cannot use one to part to the other, and the Bar Tanur tells us that the halach is that we paskin like Rabbi Akiva. It was a pleasure learning with you, Masechta Psachim, and wish you all success in your pursuing, completing all of the Masechtas in Shisha Sidri Mishnah. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Aryeh Kaplan, and I will be learning with you Masechet Shkalim. Before we begin, I'd like to just make a few introductory notes. First, the mitzvah of Shkalim, the mitzvah to give a shekel, is really, according to the Bible, half a shekel. However, in our tractate, we will often refer to it as a shekel, seeming to imply that it's a whole shekel, but really, in the times of the Mishnah, a shekel was equal to the biblical half shekel, and that's actually the Ramban comments in Shmot, Perek 30, that the reason why we call it shekel in times of the Mishnah is because people were so accustomed to paying their half shekel, they ended up just starting to call it a shekel. He also actually suggests that perhaps in the times of the Second Temple, they had a coin, a special coin almost, that was minted, that became the official coin that you gave as your shekel. The other thing is that I want to make mention of is that this mitzvah, this obligation, generally speaking, is on all adult males. We will see some type of machlokes as to whether or not it applies to Kohanim as well. So now let's get started. Perek 1, Mishnah 1 of Masechet Shkalim. The Mishnah begins, Be'echad ba'adar mashmien al ha-shkalim v'al ha-kelayim. So the Mishnah tells us that on the first day of Adar, Beit Din has an obligation to proclaim, to let people know that they are obligated to pay the upcoming shekel. The shekel is really due in the Beit Hamikdash by the first day of Nisan, and the reason for that is that starting the first day of Nisan, all purchases, all karbanot, all public offerings that are going to be made has to be from the new money. So the Beit Din sends out messengers to tell people to get ready to pay their half shekel obligation on the first of Adar, so hopefully they'll have it in by the first day of Nisan. The Mishnah also says that they're letting everybody know al kalayim. Kalayim is an obligation that people cannot, it's actually a prohibition that people cannot have in their fields mixed seeds. And Adar comes at the end of the rainy season, so at that time, when people can go outside, they can see if in their yards or in their fields, perhaps there were some forbidden mixtures growing, and therefore the Beit Din reminds everybody to go outside to look to see if something forbidden was growing, and they can remove the forbidden mixture. The Mishnah continues. And now we're actually going to talk about halacha, about Megillah. Our Mishnah is not really focusing on Megillah, and it's actually just mentioning the law about the Megillah sort of on a side note, because it's dealing with all the things that happened in the court on that particular day. So the Mishnah continues, B'chamisha asar bo, on the 15th of Adar, korin et Megillah b'krachim. We read the Megillah in the walled cities of the time of Yeshua ben Nun, although the place on the 14th day is the time that most people in the world read it. The 14th has nothing really to do with our Mishnah, so the Mishnah doesn't mention it. But because we're going to deal with other laws that apply to the 15th, the Mishnah wanted to mention that on the 15th they also read in the walled cities of the times of Joshua, the Megillah. And what else happens on that day? The Beit Din actually has an obligation to start on the 15th of Adar fixing the roads and the streets, or the roads and the public thoroughfares. And the reason is because at that time, again, the rainy season is finished, and perhaps there had been some damage to the roads, or damage to the streets, or damage to the town square. Some render the word rechovot as being town squares, and it's obligation upon the Beit Din to make sure that the roads and everything is working well and people can traverse it, especially a month before Pesach when there's going to be a lot of traffic coming in near those times. And then the Mishnah continues, they have Mikot Hamayim. The Beit Din is also obliged to fix the ritual baths. Unlike nowadays where the mikvahs are all inside, back in the day, times of the Mishnah, a lot of times the mikvahs were outdoors. And again, during the rainy season, a lot of mud or soot or debris went into the mikvah. So at this time, if the rainy season is over, the Beit Din has an obligation to clean up the mikvahs. Also, perhaps the mikvahs have to be a certain size, have to be 40 saw, and perhaps throughout the rainy season, some water came in, some water came out, and it dropped below the requisite amount. So they have to make sure that all the mikvahs are doing well. And the Mishnah continues, "Osin kol tzarchei rabim." They must do at that time, because once they're doing all the other activities, they also take care of other needs of the community that have yet to be taken care of. Umitzainin et hakvarot, or some gears was mitzainin al hakvarot, and they mark the graves. What's that all about? That there's an obligation, if you know of a grave, to mark it, to note it, to show where the grave was. And during the rainy season, a lot of times those markers could be washed away. So the Beit Din has to go back and find any graves that the markers were washed away and redo it. And finally, the Mishnah ends that Vayotin Af Alekalayim. That on the first day of Adar, we mentioned that they are obliged to remind everybody to go outside and to look and to see if to check to see if any kalayim, any forbidden mixtures are going in their yard. Starting on the 15th day, Beit Din actually sends its own messengers out to check people's yards to see if they've complied and gotten rid of the kalayim. That concludes Mishnah Aleph. Have a great day.